Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, breaking news out of Georgia. Real Clear Politics, a mainstream down-the-middle website, is exposing what we all knew to be true in Georgia, and it's pretty unbelievable. We go through this fact by fact and piece by piece, and we are here on the front lines to make sure that we have real justice for what happened in the 2020 election. If that fight matters to you and you want to have us keep the pressure on to expose the treachery, the deceit, the serpent-style behavior from the people that were running our elections, please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Maybe you're listening to this and you're a skeptic. Maybe you're like, I don't want to hear about voter fraud. I encourage you to listen to this and just say, all of my biases I'm going to check, because this is written by Paul Sperry, who's a phenomenal reporter for a mainstream publication, realclearpolitics.com. It's going to open up a lot of your eyes. And a Democrat judge even agrees. Maybe you have friends that say, oh, there is no voter fraud. Text this episode to your friends and just say, give this a listen. Just, you might not like Charlie Kirk. You might not like that he's conservative and all that. Just listen to what he has to say. It's evidence first, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. One of the most important episodes I've done in quite some time. The second part of the episode, I talk about how I pay a higher tax rate some years than Buffett, Bloomberg, and Bezos, according to ProPublica. And that reminds me of our Thinker.org book of the week. Thinker is incredible. THINKR.org is a place where you can consume big ideas quickly. That's where I get a lot of my quick ideas. At Thinker.org/Charlie, you are able to maybe look at a book like Tycoons. Very similar to the theme of the second part of this episode, of how the wealthiest people in our country seem to not have any loyalty anymore to America. Contrast that with the tycoons at thinker.org/Charlie, thinkr.org/Charlie. Check it out right now at thinker.org/Charlie, thinkr.org/Charlie. Email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Georgia, breaking, bombshell, nothing but facts that will open your eyes and hopefully compel you to action. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
This is a topic that is considered to be a thought crime in the eyes of the American press. What I'm about to walk through here is beyond compelling. It is evidence. It is real traction and real movement when it comes to discovering what happened in the 2020 election. RealClearPolitics.com. RealClearPolitics.com is considered by Democrats and Republicans to be the ultimate bipartisan site. It is a place where people go for polling data, for aggregation of articles. If you go to realclearpolitics.com, you will see the top articles from leftists and from people on the right. Real Clear Politics has no stated agenda. In fact, if you asked me what the most fair, down the middle, and fact-driven website on the internet is, I would tell you it'd be realclearpolitics.com. Real Clear Investigations, which is a project of Real Clear Politics, came out with a unbelievably remarkable story today, which is why a judge has Georgia voter fraud on his mind. Now, this story goes through in phenomenal detail what we always suspected And there's real movement happening, and it's making Stacey Abrams and the con artists that have been running Georgia Democrat Party very nervous. So I just want to reemphasize this as I read through this article by Paul Sperry for Real Clear Investigations. This is not some random message board that you found on 4chan. This is not some forwarded email from some person in the dark webs of the internet. This is mainstream, fact-driven, empirically based evidence. I'm going to read for quote by quote. When Fulton County, Georgia poll manager Susie Voyle sorted through a large stack of mail-in ballots last November, she noticed an alarmingly odd pattern of uniformity in the markings for Joseph R. Biden. One after the other, the absentee votes contained perfectly filled in ovals for Biden, except that each of the darkened bubbles featured an identical white void inside them in the shape of a tiny crescent, indicating they've been marked with toner ink instead of a pen or pencil. Real Clear Investigations continues by saying, adding to suspicions, she noticed that all of the ballots were printed on different stock paper than the others she had handled as part of a statewide hand recount of a razor-thin November 3rd presidential election and a razor-thin Georgia runoff that if David Perdue would have just gotten a couple thousand more votes, he would not have had to go to a runoff and John Ossoff would never have become U.S. Senator in the runoff on January 5th. Let's not forget the Senate race. I'm going to read a quote here. It says, in short, the Biden votes looked like they'd been duplicated by a copying machine. That's Real Clear Politics writing that. Quote, all of them were strangely pristine, said Voyles, who said she's never seen anything like it in her 20 years monitoring elections in Fulton County, which includes much of Atlanta. She was not alone. At least three other poll workers observed the same thing in the stacks of absentee ballots for Biden processed by the county. And they have joined Voyles in swearing under penalty of perjury that they looked false. Now, here is the two paragraphs that are the kicker. And again, we're reading from Real Clear Politics Investigations. And by the way, this is more than an investigation. We're about to get some big answers on June 21st. Now, election watchdogs have used their affidavits to help convince a state judge, a Democrat donor state judge, to unseal all of the 147,000 mail-in ballots counted in Fulton County and allow a closer inspection of the suspicious Biden ballots for evidence of counterfeiting. They argue that potentially tens of thousands of ballots may have been manufactured in a race that Biden won by just 12,000 votes, thanks to a late surge of mail-in ballots counted after election monitors were shooed from the State Farm Arena in Atlanta. Let me read that again. They argue that potentially tens of thousands of ballots. Now, you might say, I don't believe it. This is the big lie, is what you say. Maybe you watch CNN or NPR, and maybe you wear two masks when you shower, and you don't think there's any truth here. I continue. We have what is almost surely major absentee ballot fraud. We have what is almost surely major absentee ballot fraud in Fulton County involving 10,000 to 20,000 probably false ballots, said Gerald Favorito. Now, remember that name. Favorito is peppered all throughout this bombshell piece. The lead petitioner in the case and certified poll watcher who runs voterga.org. The piece continues, and it gets better, trust me. He said that the suspect ballots remained in the custody of the election officials, inaccessible from public view. Favorito says, quote, we have confirmed that there are five pallets of shrinked wrapped ballots in a county warehouse. He and other petitioners were ordered to meet at the warehouse May 28th to settle the terms of the inspection. But the day before the scheduled meeting, the county filed a flurry of motions to dismiss the case. I wonder why. Favorito said, quote, we'll be in court on June 21st to resolve these motions, calling them another roadblock. He expects talks over the logistics of the inspection to resume. As part of the 21st order, this judge, Brian Amaro, someone get Brian Amaro private security, please. He is a Democrat judge who granted the inspection of these ballots. It's a big deal. But strangely, just 8 days later, there was a breach in security of the building where all these ballots were. The front door was found unlocked and wide open in violation of the court orders. Probably a coincidence, right? Probably no one was probably to find the ballots. It was just, you know what? It was the wind. We all know Georgia's known for their wind. The story continues by saying that Favorito is not convinced, and he believes that the ballots very well might have been compromised. And of course, Epstein killed himself, right? Just listen to what you're told. Dr. Fauci's never been wrong. Lockdowns work. Epstein killed himself. Everything you've been told is the truth. And if you disagree, you're a racist. The article continues by saying the 38 drop boxes throughout Fulton County in the November election will be cut to 8 in the future. The boxes have been largely unregulated and unattended. Now, let me just say, Brad Raffensperger and Brian Kemp are very unimpressive people. See? I stopped myself. How they let this entire thing happen shows that they couldn't run a hot dog stand in Coney Island. They could not run an ice cream joint on 100-degree day heat in Savannah, Georgia. Continues by saying that there are many, many affidavits that reinforce this. Of course, the Democrat chairman says this is nothing more than a circus that's being put on by people who promote the big lie. Yeah, of course. This guy would have made a phenomenal Stalinist. Rob Pitts, Joseph Stalin appreciates your service to the mother, Russia. But it gets better. Judge Amaro, who oversees federal election records, again, a Democrat donor, he felt compelled to unseal the records because maybe Judge Amaro has a conscience. Maybe he has a soul. Maybe he's actually wondering, who am I, when he looks at himself in the mirror. Remember, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Susie Voiles, as I mentioned, in a swore affidavit under penalty of perjury, said that, quote, she examined several stacks of ballots of about 100 ballots from each of the cardboard boxes marked box number 5. She said these ballots came from a ballot drop box that had been placed throughout Fulton County, but all but 3 of the 110 ballots in the bundle had been strangely labeled, quote, State Farm Arena. Who labeled them that? Were marked for Biden, and according to her, were marked identical ballots. The most alarming peculiarity was the identically marked ovals next to Biden's name. In every ballot, the quote, bubble next to Joseph R. Biden had a slight white eclipse in the bubble. So let me just kind of tell you what that means. So you guys all took the ACT and the SCT, or you took some standardized test. And if you take those, not every single one of your bubbles is going to look the same, obviously. Some you'll fill in totally, some you'll overly fill in. And so that shows that you're working through the test. What she's saying is that the bubble to fill in Biden was all of them were filled in 75% precisely. It's almost like the entire bubble with a little bit missing. What do you think the chances of that are? What do you think when you put a bunch of people to go fill in a bubble, they're all going to fill in the bubble precisely exactly the same? Voyle speculated that, quote, additional absentee ballots have been added for Biden in a fraudulent manner. Those are her words. The void that she and other auditors witnessed in the exact same spot on the oval filled on 107 ballots for Biden was, quote, very alarming to us. Every single bubble was precisely alike. I had never seen that in 20 years of election monitoring. But she and other recount workers raised concerns, and they were fired. One in particular, after Boyles, again, blew the whistle, she got the boot by the Fulton County Department of Elections. Silenced, canceled, put out to pasture. Nothing to see here. I mean, come on. Of course, thousands of people fill in the bubbles exactly the same. And if you disagree with us, you're a racist. Robin Hall said something similar. So did Judy Aub and Barbara Hartman. Who was behind this? Who was orchestrating this? And how sophisticated was it? The walls are closing in on whatever happened in the 2020 election thanks to you. Not giving up on this story. We are going to find out who did this. Who funded it. Who knew about it. The momentum's on our side. Is it time to stop renting and buy your first home? Owning your home is an investment in your future, and with today's low rates, now is the time to do it. Often with mortgage payment, it's the same as rent, so why pay for someone else's mortgage payment? Going through the mortgage process for the first time means you're going to have lots of questions. You need someone you can trust. I recommend Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. These guys are honest, trustworthy professionals who can answer all of your questions and walk you through the entire process. They help first-time homebuyers and put the actual plan together. And because Andrew and Todd are bankers, not brokers, Andrew and Todd and their team personally work with you from the start to finish. You always have someone in your corner. I've heard amazing things about Andrew and Todd, so take the first step towards home ownership. You know you want to. Just go online and answer a few questions at andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. If you guys are a mortgage, maybe you're looking to buy a home, do it while rates are low. Go to andrewandtodd.com, andrewandtodd.com. Robin Hall, a certified Fulton County record recount observer, testified she witnessed a number of absentee ballots marked, quote, 100% for Biden that appeared to be, quote, perfectly filled out as if they were pre-printed with the presidential candidate selected. She said that, quote, they did not look like a person had filled it out at home. All of them looked alike. Judy Aub, who worked at the World Congress Center on November 14th, where she observed the same thing, she said, quote, suspicious batches of mail-in ballots for Biden whose markings appeared identical. Barbara Hartman, another election official auditor, also doubted the authenticity of the absentee ballots she handled, and she said were never folded, as would normally be the case for ballots returned in an envelope by mail or dropped in a box. Quote, the absentee ballots looked as though they had just come from a fresh stack, she swore in her affidavit. Quote, I could not observe any creases in the ballots, did not seem like they were folded and put in envelopes or mailed out. They looked as if they were stamped. Some say that they might have been photocopied. All of the veteran poll watchers say, quote, there was no plausible explanation for the anomalies other than possible fraud. Favorito says, quote, there's always a chance it was an insider job. He suspects the hundreds, if not thousands, of allegedly duplicate absentee ballots for Biden might be connected in spikes in votes for Biden, he observed late on election night. Now, of course, don't count on Raffensperger or Brian Kemp to even say a word about this. Incompetent, gutless wonders. All of them. On November 3rd, Fulton County election officials informed monitors they were shutting down the State Farm Tabulation Center. And for those of you at home, I'm reading from Real Clear Politics. This is a mainstream outlet, as neutral down the middle as you can get. It continues by Favorito says, quote, where did all these ballots come from and why did they handle them so suspiciously? Once scanning was completed, an election line feed showed an unprecedented vote spike that turned the election in favor of Biden. Just over a half hour after workers scanned the potentially fraudulent ballots, an election line feed showed a 100,000 plus vote spike for Biden. Voyles noted that the county election supervisor who oversaw the secret scanning of the cases of full ballots also helped run the warehouse where the suspected ballots are being stored. Phone calls and emails to Fulton County went unanswered from RealClearInvestigations.com. This judge is allowing an inspection, and I would love to have an explanation from any Democrat out there. They are welcome on this program anytime. And we are going to finally get some calling mechanism. I'd love to talk to a Democrat about this. How they think that every bubble was identically filled in if they think that's normal. And I'm going to read quote again from Real Clear Investigations and Real Clear Politics. All of them, the ballots, were strangely pristine. In short, the Biden votes looked like they'd been duplicated by a copying machine. We're going to get to the bottom of this. And if we had law enforcement that actually cared about our elections, they'd be investigating who was sending these ballots. You know, we have laws about this. Be nice to use them, which we don't. Because there's the untouchables. If you are a major Democrat, you don't get investigated by the power class. You don't get investigated by that. But no, if you are an ally of Donald Trump, like Rudy Giuliani, you get a 6 a.m. raid of your door kicked in as if you are El Chapo or if you're Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. Since law enforcement is not doing their job and investigating any of this, of all the affidavits, it's going to come down to the courts, the independent judiciary that our founding fathers gave us in this constitutional framework. And I pray, and this is where you come in, that we can keep up the public pressure, because if we can find what I think exists in those 147,000 mail-in ballots, identical, non-folded, pristine, ballot filled in for Joe Biden, 75% of the same half a lips, we might uncover the beginning of what all of us deep down in our spirit and our soul knew existed. Shenanigans, cutting of the line. And that word that you're not allowed to say on the YouTube live stream, fraud. That's what Real Clear Politics Investigation says, and I'm just asking questions. But I'm here to tell you on this program, we will never lose sight of how our elections are conducted. And we are going to find out who did this and to what extent and hold them accountable. Are you saving for retirement or just treading water? Are you depending solely on stocks or mutuals instead of diversifying what you really need? Did you know it's easy to move out of a old 401k into precious metals like gold? That's predicted to go up $2,500 an ounce soon. This could be the answer for you. So call the team at Noble Gold. Do it this month and they'll give you a gift of a free 22-karat American Eagle coin. Just mention promo code Kirk. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. A very interesting piece from ProPublica, publication I'm somewhat familiar with. ProPublica.org has this story about the never-before-seen records reveal how the wealthiest people in our country avoid income tax. Now, I pay more in taxes some years than Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. In 2007, Jeff Bezos, a multi-billionaire and now the world's richest man, did not pay a penny in federal income taxes. He achieved the feat again in 2011. In 2018, Tesla founder Elon Musk, the second richest person in the world, also paid no federal income tax. Now, there's a couple places I want to go with this story, but the first place is the most obvious. Why didn't this story come out in October of last year when they hit Donald Trump for not paying any federal income tax? Do you remember that whole story? Do you remember when there was a story after story of Donald Trump not paying income tax and they had all these billboards? It was the New York Times and they said Donald Trump did not pay any income tax. We acted as if that was unusual about amongst American billionaires. It would have been helpful if all of a sudden this treasure trove of never before seen records would have been published then. Was this story withheld? Would this story sat on for a couple months? Why was it that we were not able to say, well, Donald Trump is no different than Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, the people you lift up and elevate? So it was considered to be a political attack against Donald Trump when did that story come out? I think it was like October 3rd or something. It was like a month out from the election. Last October actually seems to be standard operating procedure for America's ruling class. So that's the first takeaway. And it's a very interesting thing. So this story by ProPublica, and good for them for publishing this. Challenging very wealthy people is something that is not done enough, especially those on the left. And so this is very good. Now, ProPublica says they are a newsroom that investigates abuses of power. The secret IRS files is an ongoing reporting project. Sign up to be notified when the next installment publishes. Now, the Washington Post, I don't think, was very happy to see this because it's going after Jeff Bezos. And the obvious takeaway is, the first obvious takeaway when it comes to this story, and I'm going to get into some of the details because it's pretty amazing, is any sort of attack they used against Donald Trump could be used against almost any other multi-billionaire in the country. That's number one. Number two, it's been very interesting to see how conservatives and how Democrats have taken this very same story all the same factual information and are handling it completely differently. So Democrats are taking the story of all this new information about IRS tax records, and they're saying, see, this is why we need higher taxes on the rich. And conservatives are taking this information. They say, see, this is why we can't have people to game the system. And I think there's some truth to actually both sides. When you read this and you see that, quote, most Americans earn $70,000 annually and paid 14% in federal income taxes. The highest tax rate is 37% for any earnings above $628,000 a year. And it says you may be paying a higher tax rate than a billionaire. I know I am. And I know a lot of our employees are too. And America's billionaires avail themselves of tax avoidance strategies beyond the reach of ordinary people. And it's a little bit deceiving throughout this piece here that got published, and it's the number one story, because they're also saying that they're only paid a small percentage of their assets. I'm not a big fan of asset taxes. I'm not. Income, still not a huge fan. I would restructure the entire way we do taxes in our country. But I'm also not a fan of someone that's earning $70,000 a year paying a higher rate on their income than Elon Musk, because Elon Musk can show a bunch of losses against his assets. And that's a very fair argument. But I think the argument that people are missing, and Bernie Sanders is having a field day with this story, of course, is this question of loyalty. So Warren Buffett, it seems, paid $23 million in federal income taxes while having a $24 billion net worth. Bezos paid $973 million while having a $99 billion net worth. Bloomberg, $292 million while having a $22 billion net worth. And some years they paid nothing at all. This idea of loyalty is, why is it that the people that have benefited so much and created so much wealth and have been able to navigate our financial tax system through the IRS seem so intent on then using the wealth that wasn't taxed to then destroy the country? You see, I would have a little bit more of a likelihood to defend these people like Bloomberg, Bezos, and Buffett, the three B's, who have a combined net worth, by the way, of, let me do some math, $250 billion. Bloomberg, Bezos, and Buffett, $250 billion combined net worth. I would have a little bit more, I don't want to say a soft spot, but I'd be more likely to defend them if they use their assets and their resources to defend the American Republic, not to buy the Washington Post and protect their own power advantage. Warren Buffett is an example of that. He's always said, I want to pay higher taxes. Well, then why don't you, Warren Buffett? You are able to give more money to the Internal Revenue Service if you so choose. Bezos, the exact same. Now, this just gets, it's a joke. Bezos had a $99 billion net worth. He had $4 billion in income. He paid $973 million in taxes, but he also claimed his $4,000 child deduction. Jeff Bezos also claimed a $4,000 tax credit for his children. That's what really matters here, everybody, that the tax credit was built for people like Jeff Bezos. $4,000 tax credit for a man that's shooting himself into space, because that's really what matters. What matters is whether or not you get the $4,000 tax credit when you are worth $100 billion. And this has been a shift. America's ruling class in the early 1900s of Carnegie and Rockefeller and J.P. Morgan, they used to have a reverence, a loyalty to the nation and the republic that made them so wealthy. Our ruling class has no such loyalty. And what is going to then be presented against them is most likely a bipartisan consensus to tax them. Now, I actually prefer the assets to be in the private sector. Of course I do. I think that that's probably better for economic growth and entrepreneurship. But do I actually want Jeff Bezos to have more money to be able to spend on Democrat politics? Of course I don't. Do I want Jeff Bezos to have more money to be able to buy newspapers? No. And so what sort of economic stimulus am I advocating for Jeff Bezos to have his own little Democrat super PAC fund that he could put $200 million a year without even ever missing it? So the Democrats are pushing forward this on economic justice, and I agree with them partially on some of this, to be perfectly honest with you. I think that some of the wealth that is created, especially, and this is an interesting point, we'll get into this, and there's so many other stories I want to get into, but Bezos, Buffett, and Bloomberg, how did they make their money? Well, Bloomberg made his money off of trading software. Buffett made his money off of very precise and wise and sophisticated trading practices. And Bezos made his money off of building a server company and a package delivery company, largely benefited thanks to the U.S. Postal Service. I'm not saying those people don't deserve to make any money, but what I am asking, though, is do you think that Bezos, Bloomberg, and Buffett, do you think their contribution to the United States has been generally positive or generally negative? That's a provocative question. The three B's worth $250 billion. Has what they done made America better or worse? Has the world become a better place because of Bezos, Buffett, and Bloomberg? A combined net worth of over $250 billion. Let's start with Bezos. Do you think America is more competitive, more agile, in a better position to flourish and live complete lives because of what Jeff Bezos has been able to do? Has it been a good thing that nearly 40% of American small businesses have gone under as Amazon has grown its oligopolistic dominance across the country? Is it a good thing that Amazon Web Services has been able to shut off competitors to Twitter like Parler? Is it a good thing that Amazon bought Whole Foods and controls everything from the food you eat to the things you say in your home through Amazon Alexa? I would argue that Jeff Bezos, his worldview is one of corporate tyranny. I actually don't think Jeff Bezos is an ideologue. I don't. I think Bezos is someone who's a deeply troubled small man. I don't mean that physically, just a small person that wants to win the material game. Buffett is not different than him. If you watch that documentary on Warren Buffett, I think it's on HBO or Showtime. I've watched it three times. Buffett does not really have an ideology. He lives in the same home that he did when he started. He doesn't really do much with his money. To him, it's all about putting points on the board. Buffett is a very corrupt person, and I could go into great detail about Burlington Northern Santa Fe and the railroad that benefited greatly through the abolishing of the Keystone XL pipeline. How about Mike Bloomberg? Has the world become a better place because of Mike Bloomberg? I actually think he was generally a pretty good mayor. But what about his wealth? Well, Mike Bloomberg famously defended the Hitler of our time, Xi Jinping, in China, and said that the Chinese Communist Party was worthy of being recognized as a legitimate government, that no leader will do anything that is not in the best interest of its citizens. Just ask Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong. Mike Bloomberg has been pictured many times as the highest leaders of the Chinese Communist Party, has done open business with the Chinese Communist Party, and has all but been an ambassador or a foreign agent for them in our country, amassing wealth well over, I think his net worth is over $70 billion. Michael Bloomberg spent over $200 million to try to get Democrats elected. Mike Bloomberg is pushing the most restrictive gun control measures in the entire country, and he spent $1 billion to go win Guam. Remember he ran for president? Which was probably, I actually think it would be one of the most fun documentaries ever made. I really do. If they could get insider footage of $1 billion to lose, how Mike Bloomberg tried to purchase the presidency. I just think that'd be so interesting. The inside story, how Napoleon himself thought that he could become president because if he stood on his checkbook, he is the tallest man in America. I would have gotten a chuckle out of that. And so I will say very clearly that the world is not a better place because of Jeff Bezos, Buffett, and Bloomberg. Elon Musk, I'd say generally yes. Elon Musk has been an ambassador of free speech. He's been creative. He goes after government handouts here and there. But I have respect for Musk. Not every billionaire, just because they're a billionaire, is in that category. But if you look at the life work of Bezos, Buffett, and Bloomberg, there's one common denominator, which is they want to expand the amount of material wealth while not caring about the well-being of the nation, the republic, or the country that gave them the freedom to accomplish or achieve it. They use their discretionary income to buy the Washington Post, to influence Democrat politics or confiscate your guns and weapons. So as we learned today that Bezos, Buffett, and Bloomberg sometimes pay lower taxes than you, I think there's an argument to be made that if you do not have a loyalty to our nation, and you use your hundreds of billions of dollars to do the bidding of the Chinese Communist Party, you have lost respect from me. And I say, you should pay more in taxes. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If this episode compels you to action, please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your thoughts and questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.